Hello everyone and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our education article and the title of this article is The School of Human Ecology. We're going to talk much more about that, but before we do that, let's hear from our panelists.
Hello Brandon, this is Catherine.
And we also have Ellen here with us today. Hello Ellen.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have both of you here on today's program. And what are we exactly getting into here, Catherine? Catherine, you are the managing editor of Advance Magazine, so I know you know a lot about this article. So tell us a little bit about the title.
All right. Well, this is the School of Human Ecology, and what we're going to learn today is that this is a new school that is at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in America, and it's a new school that they've created that is really taking students in a different direction with their majors. They can choose majors that are very applicable to daily life and, you know, different things like that.
The word practical is key in this article. They're learning practical ways to manage their lives. And as we look at this word ecology, that is the scientific study of the relationship between living things and the environment. So that's a, you know, very technical definition. But as we go into this article more, we will see how these students are learning how to interact with other people and also to use their majors in a very practical way to come up with solutions to problems and so forth. And so they're helping people in societies in different parts of the world, actually. And so it's actually a very interesting article because it goes into different areas of study and life, practical tips, and so much we're going to talk about so much in this article. So I really hope that you have your magazines there. We are on page 16. You can go ahead and open up to that page. But before we get into our reading, I do have a question for our panelists because we are talking about practical classes here. So I want to hear from our panelists. Catherine, Ellen, did you ever have some practical classes when you were in school or when you were in college?
Well, I think that whenever I was in college, I guess I had the most practical classes. I was a journalism major and, you know, there isn't much theory that can be behind journalism. You have to actually go out and learn how to write a story and learn how to interview someone. So that's very practical. It's very hands-on because you're not always sitting in a classroom. You're more often out and about around town finding people for your story that you need. But I never had any classes that really taught me how to manage my finances or anything like some of these classes we'll learn about today.
Right. Okay. So I also studied communications, broadcast journalism, and then it was also very practical, and you had to write news articles or do things, you know, using a camera, going out doing a report and that kind of thing. So it was very practical. There were some classes that I had that were like communication theory and so forth, and you learn that, but you don't put that into practice. So there's that theory side and there's that practical side, and some majors tend to be more practical and others tend to focus maybe more on theory or just you're learning from the textbook and so forth. So how about you, Ellen? Did you have some practical classes?
I think for me, my more practical classes came in high school. For college, I studied international criminal justice, which is very much more theoretical. It's a lot of discussion about things. But in high school, we had a couple classes, home economics, mm-hmm. which, you know, you learned how to sew, you learned how to write a check, you learned how to kind of do some life skills, you learned how to bake, you know, and also I took a class in accounting, which mm-hmm. is something, you know, I kind of learned how to balance my checkbook, balance my finances, things wow. like that. So, yeah, I definitely had a few classes in high school, not a whole major, but a few classes.
Right, and we don't always think of taking classes to learn to do these sorts of things. Maybe you think, oh, I'll just learn that as I go, or I'll learn that from my parents and so forth. But do you think that it's important to have at least some classes in school to help you with some life skills?
Definitely. I mean, I also had a home ec class when I was younger in high school, and it was helpful, but to be honest, like, I don't remember much from it, and mm-hmm. I think that some of the things we learned then, we probably don't even do today. Like Ellen mentioned writing a check. I I don't know how many, my mom still writes a check, but that's not saying much. So, you know, it's kind of funny how you learn those things, but they may not be useful.
That's right. Yeah, technology changes so much, and, you know, we don't write checks that much anymore. Yeah, I think my parents still do as well, but a lot of people don't do that anymore. And so with technology, things change. But I think it is interesting to, you know, learn about how students are taking these classes that are helping them with life skills. And so let's go ahead and look at our article on page 16. We will have our first reading for today.
The School of Human Ecology, teaching students practical ways to manage their lives. It is perhaps the least understood school on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, and yet it aims to be the hub of problem-solving for some of the most basic issues of life. How to mindfully raise a child. How to design products and spaces that make sense. How to chart a path to financial self-sufficiency. The school is working to reposition itself as turning out graduates with both practical skills and the so-called soft skills of critical thinking, problem solving, and cross-discipline teamwork that employers say they want. If that sounds vague, Soyeon Shim, dean of the school since 2012, suggests using Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple Computers, as a model for understanding what human ecology is all about. Jobs' genius was that he first focused on what would be intuitive and user-friendly for consumers. What would help them manage their daily life? What would appeal to them, aesthetically and practically? And only then did he bring to life products that consumers didn't even realize they wanted until they saw them. Design thinking and innovation go hand in hand, Shim said. Think users first, and then prototype. It's a problem-based approach as opposed to teaching science.
So we are going to the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the Madison campus there in Wisconsin, and that is in the United States, of course. And we start off this article, it says, it is perhaps the least understood school. And so we're talking about the School of Human Ecology. Why do they start the article off like that, Catherine?
Well, I think that it's something so new that a lot of people don't understand it. So they're trying to say up front, yeah, we know this is new, but just let us do our thing. And I mean, you know, whenever I first saw this article, I kind of thought that too. Like, what is this? Why are they doing this? So I think that a lot of people just don't really understand how this can benefit students later yet.
Right. And so they start the article off that way, and they're trying to relate to the reader because they know that a lot of people may not understand this, but they're going to explain a lot about this school. And so hopefully after you read this article, you will understand it. Well, we see that it does have a goal, and it aims to be a hub, right?
Right, and a hub just being kind of a center or the control center type idea of a place. So it aims to be kind of this control center of problem solving. So it wants to be kind of the heart of this problem solving.
Okay, so as we look at problem solving, we face that maybe on a daily basis, but in our work lives, we face that. And I think of businesses, how they have to solve problems, right? And so that is the practical side here, too. You know, as I was looking into this topic more online, there's a video here from the University of Wisconsin, and it shows students working together, and they're actually kind of running a coffee shop. And of course, when you're in that situation, you have to solve problems. And I think that is an amazing experience. You're not just sitting in a classroom and reading about someone else running a coffee shop somewhere. You're actually getting that hands-on experience. So that makes a huge difference, right?
Yeah, I think so too. It kind of reminds me of, you know, a lot of students in other universities, they have to do internships for their degrees. I mean, I did one at a newspaper and a publishing house, and that was a lot of really good hands-on experience. But it seems like with this school, theirs is a lot more drawn out. Most students just have an internship for a summer or a semester.
Right, and they're learning about problem solving for some of the most basic issues of life.
Right, we see here in the article it says some things as simple as, you know, raising a child or designing products and spaces that make practical sense.
All right, so we have the word mindfully here. You're giving special care, of course, or you're paying careful attention to your children. You don't want to just let your children do whatever they want, right? And so maybe you need some classes to learn how to do that. Now, this seems kind of, the word silly comes to mind in a way, because you think, oh, why do you need to take a class about that? You just raise children based upon, you know, what you learn in life, what you learn from your parents. And that's true, but maybe you didn't have a good example. You know, maybe your parents, you know, you think didn't raise you in a way that you was correct or something. And so you need some extra help, right? So this could be helpful for some.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I don't think that any parent is different. And I know that we've all had very, very different experiences as we were growing up. And one thing I want to say is I don't think that there's a formula for raising a great kid or anything. But this class at this school could bring up some issues that parents are having to deal with today. You know, there's so much more technology used whenever, you know, for entertainment for children, and that's something that new parents could think about, and maybe that's one of the issues that they raise in this class.
Okay, so this school is helping students to learn how to raise children and also how to design products and spaces that make sense. And so, as we will learn later in this article, they are learning how to design things that help people with problems that they have. And when we look at this word spaces, you need to know how to design a space, right? So that it's functional and so that it's very useful.
Yeah, a few months ago we had an article about the open office plans at different office buildings. And so I think that maybe that's one of those things that these students are going to take into consideration, because more and more companies are trying to do the open office plans to, you know, foster collaboration and all that.
Right. And I mean, apart from the office, there are things that we all kind of go to, you know, like coffee houses, where they also have to think about just spaces and how to best utilize it, make it comfortable and welcoming to their, you know, to their customers, but also maximize the space so that they can get the most customers in there. So, you know, I think these classes could be helpful in providing these students with that kind of mindset or, you know, knowledge.
Okay. And also we see here at the end of this first paragraph that they're helping with problem solving when it comes to finances, okay? How to chart a path to financial self-sufficiency. So many people want to be self-sufficient when it comes to their finances, but what does that mean exactly?
Well, when you have self-sufficiency, that just means that you have the ability to do things on your own. So many times recently, we've seen that whenever students in America are graduating from college, they're really saddled with a lot of debt, and they have a lot of financial responsibility right out of university. So I think that this class would be really helpful for students because it shows them how they can get out of school and manage their finances all by themselves.
Okay, so financial self-sufficiency is a good thing, but when we look at this term self-sufficiency, it's not always good, right? We don't always want to be self-sufficient, meaning that we never ask people for help, and that's a problem sometimes. We want to do everything ourselves. Of course, we want to make sure that we make a living and we don't have to depend upon other people to help us with that, but in other areas of life, we do need to be willing to be open to help and getting help from other people. And so that's just a reminder about that whole idea of self-sufficiency. Well, the school is working to position itself, right, Ellen?
Right. It's looking to reposition itself as it is turning out graduates or having graduates move on. But they want to have graduates that have both practical skills and the so-called soft skills of critical thinking.
Okay, so if you reposition yourself, you're trying to change the way people think about you or change the way people think about something. And so here they want people to realize that there is something different about this school. And they want to produce graduates that have, of course, practical skills. But then we have this term soft skills. And, of course, soft skills are the abilities that people have to communicate with each other and work well together. And so that's very useful when it comes to the workplace, because a lot of times you need to work in a team and you need to work with maybe different departments. And so that's important to learn early, right, when you're in college.
Definitely. I mean, I remember, you know, starting my first couple of jobs right out of college and not really knowing how to work with people well. And so that's definitely something that I had to learn right on the job, and I'm sure a lot of students had too. So being able to jump into university classes and immediately start working with a team in a business setting would be a very helpful skill to have.
Okay, and we have the term here, so-called, which it can mean different things. It can mean that it's describing something that may not fit its name, and so they use the term so-called here. Or it can also mean, you know, it shows something or someone that is usually called a particular name, and so they put the word so-called before it because this is what it's normally called. But here we see that the soft skills that they're talking about are critical thinking, problem solving, and cross-discipline teamwork. And maybe those don't seem so soft when you think of those individually.
Right. I don't think that they're very, I mean, they're definitely useful skills, but maybe whenever you compare them with the practical skills, you know, whenever you look at it at face value, they seem to have more value to your life than everything else.
Okay, and critical thinking, of course, is the process of thinking carefully about something. For example, maybe you have an idea and you have to really think through it and not involve maybe so many of your own opinions, but look at it very objectively, right? And so critical thinking is very important when it comes to the workplace, and you need to start early when you're in school learning how to think critically. What is meant, though, by the term cross-discipline, Alec?
Cross-discipline is just this idea of more than kind of one subject or area of study. So in college, you know, we all have majors. Sometimes we have minors, and sometimes when we combine certain skills or combine certain classes, we can call it a cross-discipline.
Yeah, and what I think that they're saying here is that they're bringing in students from different areas of the school who are studying different things, but they're making them to work on a problem together. And I personally, that's kind of what I saw whenever I watched the video that Brandon was talking about earlier, is that students from business areas and design areas were coming together to create this one thing. And that's the cross-discipline teamwork that I think this school usually does, which is pretty cool. When I was in journalism school, I was only with journalism students. And so it was just really one way of thinking that we only ever saw.
That's right. And so I think the students will learn a lot in this environment because they're working with students from different backgrounds. And it's more realistic because when you go to the workplace, you are working a lot of times maybe with people with different backgrounds, depending on what you do. Okay, so there's a lot going on here. We see that teamwork is important, and employers say that they want these things, the critical thinking, the problem solving, and this teamwork, of course. We know that already. Well, if that sounds vague or unclear, this dean of the school suggests something. First of all, this dean is originally from Korea. And what is a dean, Ellen?
A dean is a high-ranking official in a college or a university, and usually they are, you know, not the head of the entire school, but they're head of a department or a group of teachers.
And her name is Soyeon Shim, and we see that she has been the dean of the school since 2012. 12, and she tells us or gives an example about Steve Jobs.
That's right. Now, if you know this name, you'll remember that he was the co-founder of Apple Computers, and the dean of the school believes that you can use him as a model for understanding what human ecology is all about.
Okay, and I like this example because it kind of helps us put everything together. So she talks about Jobs, and Jobs' genius was that he first focused on what would be intuitive, or actually the author here is explaining it, but she's the one who's giving this idea. And so here the author says Jobs' genius, meaning that, you know, he was very intelligent. And why was he intelligent? Because he focused on what would be intuitive, right?
Right. Intuitive. You might have heard a similar word called intuition, just being this idea that it's something that you might not have to learn necessarily. You don't have to go to school to learn intuition. It's kind of the first feeling you have. So Jobs' genius was that he first focused on what would be intuitive and user-friendly for consumers. So what would be the first thing that consumers would kind of want to use or want to do?
And what would help them to manage their daily lives? And what would appeal to them? He's looking at all of this, and so he wants to create something that involves all of these areas, right? And so people would be interested in purchasing the product because it's something they need, it's something that they're interested in. And then we have the word aesthetically, right?
That's right. And this is just a word that's talking about something that has or is done with great beauty. So, you know, Steve Jobs wanted to find a product that consumers would enjoy, you know, not only because it looked nice, but also because it was very practical and worked well for them.
And he created products that people didn't even know they wanted, right? Until they saw it. We think of the iPhone, you know, when that first came out, people, maybe they didn't think about that. And when they saw it, they're like, yes, I can use that. That's very practical. And they feel that they even maybe need that, right?
Exactly. You know, that's maybe why the iPhone has done so well. It's because it's been ahead of the market in this idea of what do consumers want, or do they not even know that they want until, you know, they see it. And I think that's, you know, amazing marketing and amazing, you know, human ecology.
That's right. And so this really leads us to what is called design thinking. The next paragraph says design thinking and innovation go hand in hand. And so design thinking is really you see a problem, or you search for problems in the world, and you have to come up with solutions. But to get a better definition, I want to direct you to Tim Brown, who is the CEO and president of IDEO, I-D-E-O, which is a global design company, and he wrote an article on HBR.org, which is, I believe, Harvard Business Review. And he says by this, referring to the whole idea of innovation and design thinking, it is innovation powered by a thorough understanding through direct observation of what people want and need in their lives and what they like or dislike about the way particular products are made, packaged, marketed, sold, and supported. And so design thinking is evolving all of that, and that's really what we see here from Steve Jobs. He thinks of products, come up with products that people actually need and people actually want and they will want to buy. And so we see here that design thinking and innovation, they go hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. And we get kind of a further explanation here.
Right. Shim goes on to say, think users first and then prototype. It's a problem-based approach as opposed to teaching science. And a prototype just is kind of a model. You know, when we create a prototype, we're not really sure how it's going to look or what it's going to be, but you kind of put something together and kind of show it to other people and say, does this work?
Okay, well, next we get a clear definition of human ecology.
Defining human ecology. Shim understands that the very name of the school may confuse people. Human ecology is a name ahead of its time, she said. It's the study of the interaction between humans and environment to enhance quality of life. It's things you care about, day to day. Good parenting, good nutrition, good exercise, good financial habits, good environment. All of the things that make us happy. When we accomplish what we set out to do, people will see we're the hub of science that truly puts humans, family, children, and communities front and center.
Okay, so Shim understands that this whole title, this whole idea of the School of Human Ecology might confuse people, and she says that human ecology is a name ahead of its time. If something is ahead of its time, what does that mean?
It just means that it is a very modern idea. So when a car came out, you know, it was ahead of its time. It wasn't something that people were really ready for, but it came out, and over time, people realized its practicality and its usefulness.
Okay, so this school really is all about the interaction between humans and environment, and they hope to teach students how to improve their quality of life, right? And also, it's things you care about. And we get a list here about good parenting, good nutrition, good exercise, good financial habits, and good environment. So these are the areas that they're really addressing, and they want to, you know, what they're setting out to do is to have this hub. She says people will see we're the hub of science that truly puts humans front and center.
That's right, and front and center is a vocabulary focus term today, and that just, it's the most important spot within some sort of situation. So in all of this, what the school wants to focus on is that family, children, and community, it is the most important part of everything. They're the consumer, they're, you know, the everything.
Right. So they need to do some research and figure out what are the problems out there involving people, and how can we come up with solutions to those problems? And that involves design thinking. They're focusing on the needs of the user, and they need to come up, of course, here with solutions to problems. Well, we have so much more to talk about. We have two more days that we will discuss this article, this education article. So we hope you will join us again tomorrow. Until then, this is Brandon.
Catherine.
Ellen.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.